This is 307 Net Info, connecting community. This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by two concerned conservative citizens, as they describe themselves, to talk about Amendment A, which is a proposition on the ballot coming up in the November election, which would change the way that the legislature could tax properties, property tax. The idea behind it is to give some relief to property owners from the burden of high taxes. So I'd like to welcome Laura De Matis. Hello, Laura. Nice to hear from you again.
Hello, Kate. Thanks for having me.
And Brent Bien from now Cody, but formerly from Sheridan. Brent, nice to spend some time with you, and thank you for visiting with us on 307 Net Info.
Oh, you bet, Kate. Thanks for the invite. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. And so, Brent, you know, some people may know your name, just to sort of introduce you a little bit more. I mean, you are a concerned citizen. You are politically active, and some people may remember your name from a former run for governor. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I ran for governor back in 2022.
Okay. So turning back to the issue that we're going to talk about now, Amendment A, and just to be clear, Amendment A is... It's a mechanism that the legislature have in mind that would allow property taxes to be separated out as a category. And the theory is that then the legislature could change and lower the rates on property owners, on homeowners, and reduce the burden, which everybody has felt intensely across the state for more than a few years now. It's just one part of various initiatives that have been discussed, planned, and so on over recent years. So, Laura and Brent, you do not agree with this amendment. Would you like to just give us some reasons as to why you think that voters should not agree to this amendment?
Go ahead, Brent.
Okay. Our Constitution, as written, gives the legislature the ability to reduce taxes already. I think that a constitutional amendment, we shouldn't even broach the topic of a constitutional amendment, that we have to exercise all possibilities, whether it's statute change, whether it's budget cuts, whatever it is, before we even touch the Constitution. And again, it's been working fine for 130 years. And I think what we're seeing here is just the complete lack of accountability in our legislature, which hasn't done a budgetary audit over 30 years. So we really don't know how much money it takes to run this state. And I think my fear with breaking out residential as a subcategory, along with, you know, kind of opens the door for any other potential subcategories of taxation. And again, our legislature can already reduce that taxes. So one of the issues here with this Amendment A is it only applies to owner-occupied residents. So, you know, if we have a mother-in-law place, or, you know, the folks may own their own rentals, and of course, that's really going to influence the commercial and the rental tax rates, depending upon how these guys go, how the legislature goes. They continually talk about backfill. And frankly, where are we going to get this money? Well, how much money do we really need? Because, again, we haven't had an accountable legislature in over 30 years. And really, every incumbent legislator is responsible right now for pushing the issue of doing budgetary audits. Okay, to figure out exactly how much money it takes to run this state. And, you know, the people here have had, of Wyoming, have had to deal with an 87% roughly increase in residential property tax over the past 4 to 5 years. So the people have had to tighten their belts, but our legislature has not.
Okay.
Every time our legislature, okay.
So one thing, the proposition itself does not mention owner-occupied. So that is not clear in itself.
It does actually in the verbiage of the written resolution. If you read the Senate Joint Resolution 3, it actually states owner-occupied.
Okay.
But it's not on the ballot that way. So it's not very clear on the ballot that it separates the categories of residential. And Grant made that point, is that if you have a bunkhouse on your property or you have a shop on your property that is now lumped in with residential and business, this will separate your owner-occupied, which means you have to live in the house to get the tax cut, or actually be in the subsection that they're saying they're going to give a tax cut on. So a lot of small business owners are going to potentially have their taxes raised on any other outbuildings or rentals or cabins that they have. For example, if you have a ranch outside of town and you have a house in town, you have to pick which one you want to be owner-occupied to get this, be in the subsection. And by the way, they haven't, there's nowhere in this amendment that says they will reduce taxes. There's nowhere in it. And I don't trust them. They've had opportunities for the past 4 years. They've had over 50 bills in front of them over the past 2 years to get people property tax reform, and they can't seem to get it passed. Now, I understand we have some extra very conservative legislatures coming into this next session that have been elected recently. But in the past, we still have not been able to get 2/3 of a vote. And we cannot trust our governor not to veto it, even if it is passed by both houses.
Well, there was, I mean, to go back to the legislative session last session, finally, and it was painful, finally there were some fairly significant reductions proposed, and they were governor vetoed. So the legislature did manage to put forward some proposals, and one was for 25% reduction. So that got that far within the legislature, but it did fall at the governor's level.
Correct. And we still have the same governor next year, so we need to think about that.
Okay.
Sure. And we're just giving them the opportunity to separate it out.
Okay.
And Kate, if I could just add on that, is we needed the legislature needs a 2/3 majority to override the governor. Now, the legislature, after the governor signed HB 254, which is the one you're referring to, vetoed it, our legislature, we didn't have enough legislators to call for a special session to veto that bill. Okay, so it would have taken 2/3. Okay, again, now we have 2/3 of our legislators wanting to amend the Constitution, okay, to make it easier for them to tax. So it's almost this, it's completely antithetical what they're doing here. So there's a lot to this that I think a lot of people don't realize all the mechanics that's been going on down there in Cheyenne. And, you know, again, our governor believes that it is a socialist effort to give people a property tax cut. And that would have only done 25%. Okay, and the best bill out there was HB 137, which is Tony Locke's bill that would have done basically what our ballot initiative was doing. But that didn't hit the floor.
Thank you for mentioning the ballot initiative, because you've been spearheading that. And just to, maybe we should just explain to listeners, you know, how this is different from this Amendment A. Some people may remember or may have indeed signed a petition which called for a 50% decrease in property tax. And that is what you're referring to as the ballot initiative. Isn't that right, Brent? Would you like to just explain a little bit more about the background and where it currently stands?
Sure. Again, this was one of the things as I was campaigning around the state 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, it was one of the top two issues in the state, this next election integrity. And so we decided to do a ballot initiative to reduce residential property tax. Now, ballot initiative, we're very limited as citizens to do this, but it does put the citizen, our Constitution gives the authority for the citizens to be in parity with the legislators and the governor. So, you know, we've got the governor, the legislators, and the people that can create a law and change statute. Change statute is what I'm talking about here. But it's a lot harder for the folks, right? It's all based on election participation and, you know, previous election participation, et cetera. So we went straight after residential property tax. Now, property is a very big term. So because for a ballot initiative, we can only go after one thing, we thought, okay, we're limited by to one topic, basically, per, you know, statute, is, okay, what affects people the most? And that is residential property tax. So we took all property taxes, this giant thing, and we broke out residential as a standalone, okay, and focus on residential, because that affects so many people in the state. And so we went straight after that. So it's, a lot of people will say, oh, it's a, you know, we can't stand a 50%, withstand a 50% cut property tax. That's a complete misnomer what we're doing. We're going specifically after residential property tax. So we decided, okay, let's go for a 50% reduction in residential property tax on the primary residence of Wyoming residents. So a Wyoming residence is considered somebody who's lived here for 365 days. We line it up with fishing, hunting, and with in-state tuition at UW. And because there should be a benefit to living in the greatest state in the nation, right? And so that's how we did that. Now, we're limited too. I mean, we can't disperse funds, we can't allocate, we can't do anything like that. So that's why we went with an exemption. So an exemption is not compulsory, right? So somebody simply goes down to their assessor and they say, hey, I want to sign up for this exemption. So this, you know, people don't have to participate in our ballot initiative once it becomes law. They don't have to participate. But this gives them the flexibility that, hey, if they want to get 50% reduction on residential property tax, all they need to do is go down and apply for it. And then as long as they're a Wyoming resident for 365 days, then get it. Now, we've gotten over 50,000 signatures on this. It will not be on the 2024 ballot. That's what's so important here, is the ballot initiative will go on the 2026 ballot, not the 2024 ballot. So somebody who signed this our ballot initiative 6 months ago may think that the constitutional amendment proposal that will be on this ballot is the initiative, but it is not. They are night and day completely different.
There are some similarities, though, I think, because just to be maybe pick at this a little bit, because what you described as the definition of that is almost the same as the definition for Amendment A.
Well, Amendment A doesn't offer any property tax relief. Ours does. The ballot initiative does offer property tax relief.
But for the same group is what I'm getting at here. It's for the same it's for the same category of people. It's for residential property owners. It's a primary residence, which is the same as for Amendment A.
The way it's phrased, that's why I want to make very certain that people understand the constitutional amendment that's going to be on 2024 is not the ballot initiative that they signed. The ballot initiative that we were running will be on the 2026 ballot.
Okay. I mean, if I was a property tax owner, a property taxpayer, and as indeed I am, I would be thinking, why not vote for Amendment A? And because that's going to come in, and then potentially at the next legislative session, you know, my property tax could be reduced, and I would see the result quicker than waiting until 2026 and then for all of those things to come in place. I would be, you know, I'd be minded to vote now, get as much relief as I possibly can as soon as possible.
Well, the ballot initiative is the way it's written, the way it's gone through Secretary of State's office, the AG, everything else. It is, regardless of what ballot it goes on, it's supposed to start on 1 January 2025. So, and that's the thing I think a lot of these legislators don't like about any of this stuff is that, okay, you know, they know right now that they better get their act together because, you know, people are going to be working for this in 2025 unless we're so, you know, that's how it's written. Go ahead, Laura.
Well, there's one thing about that's different about the initiative is that there's no sunset on it. And that's very important because the last legislative session, they're walking around espousing the fact that they passed two property tax reduction issues. One was on the cap on property taxes, and the other one was that if you're over 65, you can apply for a reduction and a refund. They increased the refunds and all that stuff. But those two things that they passed with the over 65-year-old ownership of a house and the cap sunset in 2 years. you have to read all the way down to the bottom of the statutes and bills to understand that it's only a two-year relief. So we're going to be back in the same boat in 2027, arguing and fighting for reduction in property taxes if they don't do some major overhaul of tax code, just like Brent was talking about. So the ballot initiative does not have a sunset on it. It's in perpetuity if they get it passed. So it's not a fix-all, obviously. We need deep, deep reform in our tax, property tax codes. But it is more substantial and carries a little bit more weight than anything else they've ever, well, not anything they've proposed, but what they passed and what they're doing.
One question that property tax payers may have is, okay, I'd like the reduction in my property tax, but what happens to the services that fund them? Because property taxes stay local. They provide our local taxes and services. Some counties are richer and, you know, benefit more and have more money to dispose of and to spend. Others have less. If you reduce that by 50%, what does that do to the services and infrastructures and so on that we've become used to?
Nothing. And I tell you, we've done the budgets on every single county in this state. And the, and see, we do have a state equalization board. We have an education, can't remember yet what you call it, but it's like a specialized education thing to where, you know, money from the counties go to the state, they redistribute it. Because when you have those heavy mineral counties like Petrona, Sublette, you know, Sweetwater, whatever, that, and then you have those ones that don't, like Washakie or Platte or something like that. Then that's why we have an equalization board. Here's the thing, Kate, that a lot of people forget here, is that we have $30 billion in savings right now. $30 billion. And over the last two legislative sessions, they put $2.3 billion in there. Okay, our ballot initiative only would reduce the money going through the state by $140 million. Okay, $140 million. Yet this last legislative session, they put $750 million into savings. So it's like, well, wait a second here. I mean, you know, $140 million, you know, and that's what people are bellyaching, the assessors, the DOR, you know, all these people, all the, and a lot of the government folks are bellyaching that this is going to cost so much money, but then they're willing to put $750 million just this last session into our rainy day account. But yet we can't give the folks, Wyoming residents, the primary residents of Wyoming residents, $140 million of their own money back. And it's not that, you know, they apply to get it back, it's just they just don't pay it, you know, and that's the thing. So I mean, we have so much money in this state when it comes down to being, I mean, this state per capita is in the top, definitely the top three of being the blackest in the nation, meaning that we have more per capita savings than just about any other state in the nation. So there's a lot of false narratives out there about how the ballot initiative is going to affect that. And we got to remember that residential property tax is just a portion of property tax, and it varies depending upon counties. But we've got plenty of money in this state to make sure our education, the education gets, you know, close to $3 to $4 billion, you know, every 2 years federally, which is also our money, you know, and it's just colored differently when it comes back into the state. So there's plenty of money in this state for all of these things.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment on that because numbers are important here. Before 2018, the state had $8 billion in state reserves. Today, we have over $30 billion. So in, what, 6 years?
Yep.
From $8 billion to $30 billion. And they just passed the largest budget in the history of the state of Wyoming in 2023 and added an additional spending of $3 billion. And that's not $3 billion for 2023. That's $3 billion that's added to the budget every year. So the state, although they're pissing and moaning that they don't have money and the mineral income is down and all that, we have increased our reserves and our budget incrementally in crazy amounts in just the past 5 or 6 years. And to say that that this is going to affect our services, there needs to be some adjustment somewhere that the taxpayer is not continually just paying taxes and our legislators in our state are just not continually putting it in reserves and putting it in special funds that they're funding during largesse years where we have a lot of money, and not looking ahead to years that may be a little skinnier with what our income is, and we're still going to have to support these budgets that they have increased in all of these special coffee cans, they call them, that they have started with these savings accounts. It's insanity the way that they are managing the money of the state.
That's right. Yeah, that's a great point, Laura. Great point.
Okay, so coming back to Amendment A, the reasons that you are not in favor of it, to summarize what you were saying earlier, is that you believe that a constitutional amendment should be the very last resort. Have I represented you fairly there?
Absolutely, Kate. The legislature already has the authority. They already have the authority to reduce taxes, property taxes specifically. Very good. This amendment gives them more ability to manipulate, influence, whatever you want to call it, taxes. Okay, specifically on these people. So yeah, there's a their authority's already there to do this.
And are there any other additional comments that you would like to make to voters as they weigh up whether they want to vote for or against Amendment A?
Well, yeah, if I can just jump in, Laura, just jump on it.
Sure. You
know, Laura's hitting on all these numbers, and they are fantastic. And just to grasp what Laura just said with these massive budgets, and to remember that we don't audit in the state. We don't. And that's the legislature's responsibility. So we have no idea how much money it really takes to run this state, because we haven't done a full-blown wall-to-wall budgetary audit in over 30 years. So we don't know. So you see these budgets, and then of course, you know, every other year is a budget year, right? Well, the off year, what ends up happening, we do a supplemental budget, you know, which gets added on to, which is another $1 to $2 billion or $3 billion. I mean, it's this perpetual state of spend, but there's no cuts. We never see them cut. But the people are forced to cut. We have to, in order to survive, to maintain our homes, everything else. We have to, but our government doesn't.
Thank you very much indeed for spending some time talking with us about your views and Amendment A and whether voters should or should not agree to it. I appreciate your time very much indeed, and look forward to another opportunity to discuss this with you.
Thanks, Kate.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.